turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. In this portion, this verse, we kind of have here, according to the commentators, and I think the Holy Spirit giving the same guidance, you really don't know if this is talking exclusively about the written word or about the living word. For Christ is the living word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. All things were made by Him. Christ is that Word. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witness Bible says. They said He was a God. No, He was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, not a God. That article is not in there. And so they will burn in hell for adding that article in there. Jesus is God, was God, and forever shall be God. And anybody who doesn't believe He's God is wrong. And it's not a good thing to be wrong with God. I want to stay right with Him all the way. I don't want to correct His book one bit. I have enough trouble understanding it and obeying it. So we're going to be talking about the Word of God. And so you can picture here Christ, the living Word, and then Christ, the Bible, the living Word. Because it's the first one we have here is for, what does it say? For the Word of God is quick. And that word quick, to judge between the quick and the dead, that has reference to being very much alive. And my Jesus is very much alive. And His Word, the Bible, is alive. Greatly alive. This book's on fire, friends. I want you to know our Jesus, as we preached on Him recently, He says that the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, as He made the whip and drove them out of the temple. And we preached the other week on, are you eaten up with the zeal for God? Jesus was, and we're supposed to be like Jesus, so we need to be eat up with the zeal for the house of God, just like He was eat up. I tell you what, we need some young people that are zealous for God. Amen. Just run over us, old man. You try, though. Amen. I'll try to be out in front of you. I was chasing some down on visitation last night. I didn't catch a couple of those guys. They were walking too fast, but I got some others. And just get, I mean, it says here, the Word of God is quick. It's very, very much alive. This Bible, that's why when you start witnessing to someone, you talk and try to figure everything out, nothing happens, and then you open the book, and all of a sudden, God gets involved. Amen? I'll tell you, this is the perfect God of glory gave us a perfect Word. And this Word is dynamite. By the way, as you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ was very, very, very much alive, and He was on the go for God. Nothing dead about our God. Nothing even weary about our God. Amen. It was just He took on human flesh and He had to rest at times. I don't say that this is in the Bible, but they say, the historians of the early days, and they did mention, you are not yet 50 years old. But they said He looked like He was 50 years old. They said that our Savior looked beat and worn at 33 and a half years old. The Bible calls Him a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Now the Bible says one day He'll laugh at their calamity. But we don't have any record that Jesus ever laughed about anything. He was broken over the sinners that were going to hell. But our Savior was very much alive. He was quick. And His Word is quick. We need to realize the great life. There's life in the Word. Not Joyce Myers. There's life in the Word. Stupid woman on the radio. Got her doctrine all wrong. Can't even get her husband up to preach for her. She tries to think she knows more than her husband. She ought to sit down and shut up and obey the Bible. A woman's not to teach, nor to preach, nor to usurp authority over a man. She's to be in subjection to her husband. She's to ask anything and let her ask her husband at home, for it's a shame for a woman to speak out in the church. That's why the women don't vote in our church. The men vote on things in this church. Amen? And we don't always do it right, even. do we? But our God's able to direct us. I tell you, they didn't check with Peter's wife about anything in the 12. They checked with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and made their decisions and did what they had to do. In the early church, the same way. Now, they were in the upper room praying. There were women there. Don't you think there weren't? And I don't know, but that the Holy Ghost didn't come on them too, because it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And some people said, well, that was just Peter. I don't believe a word of that. I said, I don't believe a word of that. But they were not preachers. But you have over there the prophecy in Acts. The Holy Ghost, what, it'll come on the old men will dream dreams, and the young men will speak with new tongues. God will do what He wants to do. You don't have to figure it all out if you don't understand it. Leave it alone, and God will show you when you get to heaven. Don't explain away Scripture just to make sure you're giving Baptist doctrine. I'd rather have Bible doctrine than traditional doctrine. Amen? Got all these people, and they want to make sure that their preacher friends all agree with them. I don't care if I agree with all my preacher friends. I want to agree with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for I'm going to meet Him one day, and I'm going to be judged with what I believe out of this book and what I preach out of this book. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And there were women in that upper room, 120 gathered together. That's about the average size of the average church if it's 150 years old or it's 10 years old. Isn't that something? That's the average size of an average church. About 120 people. So we're doing as well or better than that here. We'd like to do a whole lot better. We'd like to go up to about 1,000 around here. I don't think we can lasso and tie down that many. Probably not unless the Lord just gets a hold of somebody the way I preach. Amen. Don't say amen. Pray and we'll get them anyhow. Amen. Powerful. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. All power is given unto me, Jesus said. I'm telling you, the living Word Christ was powerful. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Why? Because He had all power. He said, rise up, and they rose up. He walked on the water. He raised the dead. He healed the sick and healed the blind, healed the deaf and the dumb. Spoke, and the deaf heard, and the blind saw. He commanded the waves, and He said, peace, be still. And they laid down like little puppy dogs. They said, even the winds and the waves obey Him. Some of you hear all this present day preaching, you think that Jesus was bound or something by the devil. All power! The only thing that limits us, limits Christ, is our faith. That's our problem today. Obedience to the Word and faith in the Word. He's a powerful Christ. I'm telling you, if they just wanted to get under the shadow of Peter and be healed, I'll tell you, Christ was power itself. He was the power of God. If the gospel is the power of God, Christ is the gospel. So He is power all over. Amen? Power. People put these pictures up. I don't like pictures of Christ. He wants to have a picture of Himself. He'd have left us a picture of Himself. He didn't even leave us a picture of Moses. God buried Him Himself, Moses. My Jesus, I don't believe you ought to go around with pictures of Christ. Most of the pictures make Him look like a feminine. Blonde hair. He didn't have blonde hair. He's a Jew. He had black hair and a black beard like beard black hair. Amen? Jesus had a beard. And all these Bible schools say, well, you shouldn't have a beard. This is Roman, to tell you the truth, friends. Very manly to have a beard. Amen? We've sure been indoctrinated, haven't we? That we require in our Bible schools, many of them, that everybody be clean shaven. And our army's the same way, isn't it? Huh? By the way, another thing, Pastor Hammond's just mentioned to me something. I was thinking, I was going to bring this up earlier, so I'll just bring it up now. I'll tell you what, the Word of God is perfect, friends. This is perfect. And you know what? It tells us what to do with our mother when the father dies. And we will not obey it in our courts. We will not obey it in anything. The truth of the matter is, even if they're not right with God, that the man in the house, the oldest son, ought to have the say-so in what happens with the money. When dad dies, I'm telling you, all the inheritances are going to the nursing homes. And we have nothing for our kids and nothing for our grandkids because they give all the money, they give all their money to the wife. And she's not worked half her days, and even if she did, she doesn't know how to handle anything. No offense, ladies. Amen? Why? She's not a man. Jesus, I've got Bible friends, Jesus said, John, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. And John took her to his house because the Bible says the church is to take care of widows. And Jesus took care of her until he died on Calvary, and then he gave her to John. That's the best insurance program I can ever imagine. Jesus will always have it right. Jesus was the firstborn, mind you. Now, Joseph didn't have anything to do with it, but Jesus was the firstborn. He was responsible for his mother. And he was going on to glory. And so he said, John, you take care of this woman. Amen? She was the mother of Jesus. But what did she say one time? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Jesus, at the age of 12 in the temple, said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? The first words out of the Savior in regard to the Scriptures. That was what we heard. And I want you to know that was what Jesus was about, his Father's business. From the very birth until the very time he died at 33 and a half and went to glory. I'm telling you, my Savior is powerful. He is just all power. Nothing weak about my Jesus. He was meek, but he was not weak. All power. By the way, I have another good verse there. I thought on that. Acts 4.33. Look at Acts 4.33. I looked this up before the service. I thought this was a great verse if I have the right one here. Acts 4, verse 33. The early church was a powerful church because it was a praying church. They know how to get a hold of God. And then they walked a pure life and something happened. I'm telling you, God shook the jailhouse and God shook and there was a great earthquake. Boy, they had great witness. Thousands were saved at Pentecost and thousands were saved after Pentecost. They didn't hardly have a Bible, but they knew how to pray. They had to go to the temple to get the Bible. They had to go to the synagogues to get a copy of the Bible to even look at it or read it. It was so precious because it was all handwritten. But I'm telling you, they could pray anywhere. All heaven came down. Look what it says. Verse 30. Acts 4, verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. I'll go down. 33 is what I really want. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. 33 is what I really wanted. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great power! The apostles gave the apostles witness. We need not just a witness, we need a powerful witness. We need to have a witness that goes forth with great power and anointing, but it will not if we don't have great prayer. Great prayer will produce great power. And then what does it say? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'll tell you what, the Word of God is sharp. Can you imagine how sharp you could get a two-edged sword, even in those days back then, with just a file or something? You could get it so sharp you wouldn't even want to get your hand or your foot or your body, anything near it, for fear that it would cut you. Have you ever had a razor that sharp? You don't even want to get near the thing. The Bible says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Boy, it'll cut the heart of a sinner, won't it? It'll cut the heart of a believer who's not right with God. The Word of God is powerful, and yet it's sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Then it's also piercing. It's sharp. But what had happened to our blessed Savior? They pierced His side. And the Word of God does the same thing, friends. Jesus does the same thing. He pierces the hearts of unconverted people. His Word pierces the heart, not just into the body like it was into the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Word of God pierces right into the soul of a sinner. That Roman spear went into our Savior, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, goes in and pierces the heart of sinful man. They're brought to conviction. I was so delighted as I heard from Mrs. Mitchell, and she said her 70, how old is your dad, 70? 73-year-old dad. And did he just get saved this last year? And she said she couldn't believe it was the same dad on the phone. He was getting upset with other old people why they didn't listen and get saved. And she said, "Great day. That's the way you were, Dad, for 73 years. And she's just in tears at the table, so thrilled that her dad got saved. But all he talks about, he said, "I don't care about any of this. I'm going to heaven. Who cares about any of this old junk down here?" Woo! That's salvation, amen? That's that piercing. That's that spear, that sword of the Word of God. That's what it was in over there in Ephesians chapter 6. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our only offensive weapon, is the Bible. We don't use our fists. The Bible says we're required not to use our fists. We're not to be a striker. Amen? We're not to be quarrelsome. Just stand up and declare Lord of God and let it do the work. T.T. Shields did that up in the Spurgeon of Canada. And he prayed, and I read the little thing again today. There were a couple little parts I missed. I'm such a slow reader. And I wanted to get it all, and I read about him. And he prayed that there would be no modernists getting that pulpit when he died. And the modernists are in our pulpits everywhere today. Compromisers. Jellyfish Christians. And jellyfish preachers who have no backbone. What you've heard in the last 10 or 15 minutes, some preachers would never, ever say what I said, even in a nice tone. Amen? What you hear around here, they wouldn't even say it in a lovely voice. No less a thundering voice. They're as weak as milk toast. And shame on them. And I meant what I said when I called Dr. Mark Minnick and talked to his assistant pastor a week or two ago. I said, "I want you to tell your pastor that I'm ashamed of him for taking such a poor stand on the King James Version of the Bible." I said, "Could you imagine Dr. Minnick being the very one when he gets to heaven and realize how wrong he was and getting people to get weaned off of the King James onto this New American Standard bunch of compromising Bible?" Shame on him. I told his assistant, "I want you to tell your pastor I'm ashamed of him." Amen. And he can tell Dr. Roach too if he wants to. I don't care. He ought to be ashamed of himself. Amen. And that assistant pastor, I have to say it again, it's so stupid. His assistant said, an 8-year-old boy, he has 4 children, the oldest one's 8 years old. He said, "I already heard this." Well, you need to hear it again. This is how stupid people are. You got to go to the place of higher learning to get this one. You have to, the university. Well, look, reading the Pilgrim's Progress, what he thought about those universities. Old John Bunyan, read the Pilgrim's Progress. You'll find out what he thinks about these places that steal the faith of our young men and that claim to be religious schools. He said, that his oldest boy's 8 years old. And I let him have a King James Bible here, version here, and a New American Standard here, and I let him decide which one he wants to use. No, I'm not a striker, but I strike him with a word. I did. I told him, in a nice way, I told him, "You're nuts. He got a bit of sense. Been down around that university since 1984. It took that long to get him to face such stupid thoughts as that. They've lost all common sense. Think an 8-year-old boy can make a decision like that. That's stupid. Ah, man. I'll tell you what, most 20, 18 and 20-year-old young men, Brother Lightsey, can't make a decision like that, can they? You know what it'll ruin them! They'll think there's no God at all if they can't keep His word right. So what do they lean on? They lean on educators. No, I lean on the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher of all. And He will guide you right every time. Every time. So what? It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This Word of God is so powerful and so sharp and so piercing and so quick, alive, that it will get right into the soul and spirit of a man. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What did the rich man say? Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Then another place, oh, I'll tear my barns down and build bigger barns. Oh, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The soul and spirit. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then the spirit of a man. The spirit of the beast goeth downward, the spirit of man goeth upward to meet his God. I tell you, the Word of God is the answer. The living Word and the Christ who is the Word. Amen? He's going to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Christ, the living Word. We need to make much of Jesus, and we need to make much of His Word. Amen? And all Scripture, not just the words of the Master that are recorded in the Gospels, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know why this is a powerful book? Because that word inspiration means God breathed. What did He say over there, Jesus Himself? And He breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." Oh, how we need Jesus to breathe on us with His holy breath from heaven. We're so worried about blowing someone over with breath mints and everything, and we need the power of God. The disciples didn't use any breath mints. Amen? They had the power of God! They didn't care about such foolishness as that! Amen? Now, if you have soap and everything, keep your body clean. So you're a good testimony, but the truth of the matter is, John the Baptist was the greatest man born a woman, and wasn't he a sight? I mean, he was a sight. Camel's hair and wild animal clothing, lived on locusts and wild honey. But it says all Judea went out to hear John preach, because God was all over that place. Even the religious crowd came out. And they were there when the religious crowd came. He said, "You show fruits meet for repentance, or I will not baptize you. You show me you've changed. You show me that you've really trusted this Christ that I'm preaching that's coming after me." I talked to those fellows, and I never used that before. Some of you guys were there last night, but I never used that before. I said, "You know what it is? Repentance toward God plus, you know, adding, dividing, multiplying, adding. Repentance toward God plus faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ equals salvation." And I said, "No repentance, no salvation. You have to have both. No faith in Christ, you're still trusting your good works and your baptism and your giving and your own self. You can't get saved." Amen. You can have all the repentance you want. There's a lot of people that repent. They repent, but they don't know Jesus is the answer. Amen. There's a lot of people that know Jesus is the answer and they will not repent. You got to have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And Curtis Hudson knows he was wrong now. Amen. He's finally straight now. I never have his repentance books in my... In fact, if you find any in there, you let me know about it. I got a bunch of his stuff recently, and I haven't had peace about it. I've taken most of it out of there. Curtis Hudson was so off on repentance, he changed the songbook. Head of the sword of the Lord. But he's met his maker now. He knows he's wrong now. Well, why don't these other fellows check up and find out if he's wrong or not? Their schools are making things to Curtis Hudson. That was a bad thing, friends. You can't be off on repentance. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ equals salvation. So you mess up on repentance. Amen? And a lot of these fellows, they got messed up on repentance. Yeah, they said that because the book of John, it always says believe, and the word repentance is not in the book of John. I can read too. But John the Revelator and John the Apostle, he knew that. Every one of the Gospels, it's not a synoptic anyhow. You trying to tell me that the book of John's not inspired? Or that the book of John is the only one that's inspired when the other ones say repent, 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 repent? Come on, wake up! Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Was John's message. It was Jesus' message. It was Paul's message. And it's my message. And it better be your message. Believing is not repentance. It's repentance toward God and then believing. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ equals salvation. Some people say, well, the book of John, all it says is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, believing is repenting. No, I don't believe that a bit. Amen? I read the whole little pamphlet by Curtis Hudson, and I said, I don't know what's wrong with it, because he used a lot of scripture, but I know something. The Holy Ghost said, he's wrong! You better listen to the Holy Spirit above any man, friend. I don't care how well known he is. The least little Christian, has the greatest teacher living in him. The Holy Ghost. And he may be right and the pastor wrong. Remember that, Preacher Harvey. Amen? Remember that, Preacher Harvey. Yeah. I got three fingers coming back at me. The little weakest Christian might be wrong, right about something. I could be wrong. Because I'm not listening to my greatest teacher all the time like I ought to. Right? You say, well, this pastor taught me this, and this pastor taught me this. If the Holy Ghost teaches you something different, you junk everything they taught you in that area. You obey the Holy Ghost. He's the great teacher. He's the great comforter. Well, we're getting down to the end here, if you let me. And then it says the joints and the marrow. You know what that means? The joints, that's the inside, your joint in your knee and your joint in your shoulder, but the joints and your sternum, and that's inside, you see. The joints and the marrow is inside the bones that are around the joints. That's how deep the sword cuts and divides and does its work, the Bible. And that's the way the Lord Jesus, doesn't he? Doesn't Jesus just cut you right to the heart? And you come out of that church service, you say, I know Jesus has spoken to me. I know the Bible has spoken to me. Woe is me. You know, when Isaiah saw the Lord, how did he see him? He didn't see him down in the pit, because he's not in the pit. Now, if you get stuck in the pit, then he's with you in the pit. But he's not down in the pit. He's high and lifted up. And when you see him high and lifted up, then you'll be like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am an unclean man and a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You better see God's Bible high and lifted up. You better see Christ high and lifted up. You say, well, wasn't he with them in the furnace of fire? Yes. Jesus was in there. One like the Son of God. These new translations changed that, almost every one of them. And as I told you the other day, they changed that about the centurion. It was either the NIV or the New American Standard. And they say, like a son of God. Well, I'm a son of God. What did the centurion say? Truly, this was the Son of God. And the S is capitalized in my King James Bible. In all of the synoptics, it's capitalized. And it's big God, G, small O-D, for Elohim. Not small g, small O, small D in these new translations? Can't you see the centurion saying, surely he was a son of God? No, he was in wonderment. Truly, this was the Son of God. If you had one copy to, that said this and the other copy, and by the way, they put the other copy, they put that in their notes and the side, they say, other copies, but these aren't as good, they say, and they are, they're better than the one they're talking about if they'd study and pray and get the Holy Ghost determination on the thing. And so they put it out in the column there, and one of them said, even a son of the gods, like they changed over there in Daniel chapter 3, or 5, I think it's 3, 25. No, he said, Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four in there, one like the Son of God. Well, why would he be talking about the God of Jehovah God later on if he didn't say that when he was looking in there? They said he was a heathen king. Yes, and he knew the king of Daniel. He knew the God of Daniel. Look at the rest of the book of Daniel. If you were the translator, I wonder which one you'd pick. I'd pick the one that lifted up the deity of my blessed Lord Jesus and glorified Him as God Almighty. You know what these modern translators believe? That we should treat the Bible just like any other book. It's not like any other book! And don't you translate it or handle it like any other book! It's the holy book of heaven! It's the book we'll stand before when we stand before God one day. I don't like people talking about my Bible. Well, we need to treat it like other literature. It's nothing like any other literature. That's intellectual bunch of trash. Don't you let your boys get deluded by these highly educated idiots. They have idiocy in their way. Their much learning has made them mad. Not Paul, but them. Amen? And they talk about us uneducated people. Well, that then they should have been, they ought to talk that way about Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were just nothing but fishermen. And if God wanted every one of them to be as highly educated as Luke and as Paul the Apostle and as Moses, there were plenty in the world to pick with some credentials. There were enough educated people there. God could have saved them and called them in the 12. The only one we know who was intellectual, and Luke was not in there. Paul was not one of the 12, you know. Did you know that? He came later. Mark and Luke came later. Timothy came later. Titus came later. There's not one of the 12. Paul came later. Apollos came later. Yeah, don't you think there were any other people like Apollos around? No, God chose the common things, the things that are nothing, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And He even let him write His holy word too. Old illiterate Peter, glory be to God. God got all over him and caused him to write 1st and 2nd Peter. And the whole book of Acts, half of the book of Acts is all about Peter. How he got out of prison and everything else. And then he let John write the book of the Revelation. Well, you wouldn't have done that, would you? You'd have picked a more educated one than John the fisherman, wouldn't you? Huh? But he let him write the Revelation, the whole book of John, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. That's a big part of the New Testament. And what an uneducated man. He had the Holy Ghost on him. They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. And if we get with Jesus, God could do some great and mighty things and powerful things through us. As we take the Bible and use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It even goes beyond the joints and the marrow, the very innermost being of you, and it even the thoughts, it's a discerner, the Word of God in Christ. He knows everything. Nothing's hid from Him. The very, what? Thoughts and the intents of the heart. Our very intentions are known by God. Why we're doing something. Not what we're doing only, but why we are doing it. Are we doing it for self-praise? Some of you probably think, oh boy, Preacher Harvey, no, maybe they'd think that, Mrs. Mitchell and Adam and Heather. But you can talk to our people. I preach this way all the time lately. I'm getting more fired up, and I hope I get a lot more zeal too. Amen? I'll tell you what, we'll not get young people that are fired up if the preacher doesn't stay fired up. We're not going to get any fighters and warriors out of here if we don't have some power around here. An allegiance to this blessed book. I'm willing to shed my blood and go to jail for it. Are you? I thought I was going to jail the other day down there with Brother Chris. It just comes after you all the time, doesn't it, Brother Chris? In Austin. The only thing I cared about is I was going to, you know, my wife and my Bethany said they could come down and see me anyhow, you know. But I wouldn't be able to preach. And I thought the fellow was kind of, you know, I could just be nice to him. But I thought about it today as I was praying. Boy, I put my hand right on the cop's shoulder. You know, some of them wouldn't like that. Maybe he may pull his gun out on me or something. I said, now, sir, you know that we're not breaking any noise ordinance around here. I can't even hear you for this bus out here. I said, that's a bunch of garbage. He couldn't deny it. Amen? And I already told him we had the megaphone in the car and we weren't disrupting traffic. I think Brother Chris had got him all fired up, though. But he told me three times, if he told me once, if I come back the third time, you're going to jail. I just hadn't planned on going to jail right at that time. If I did and I'd already planned on it, we may be all end up in jail. But I'd rather, if I'm going to go to jail, I'd rather go to jail and clean, because my church people could be down there and we could just storm the place and I'd give you orders from out here and you'd have your picket signs, Mrs. Buhorn. I mean, we just stand out there day and night and tell them to try to stop us. Let my preacher out of jail. We'll storm the jailhouse. We'll be framed. We'll be in front of the house of the chief of police, Jackson. He messed me up twice now. He's not going to do it the third time. And I heard he's a good cop. He's a good policeman and he's a good chief of police. But he's not been too good to me nor our church. And so he's not going to get the third chance. I'm going to stop him in his tracks next time and make him see that we know Jesus. And if he says he knows Jesus, and I think he does claim to be a Christian, then act like one.
Amen.
Back up a preacher. Amen? I thank God brought him down from up there in Dallas and Fort Worth. But he better act right. And he better act especially right toward those that are the household of faith, and I'm one of them. Amen. I hope he is a Christian like he professes to be. But he better act like one. He better back up Christians, not a bunch of heathens and witches and warlocks and all other bunch of creepy people and perverts. Maybe they had to put up with these perverts up there in Fort Worth and Dallas, but we are not going to put up with them around here. As we start our attack, listen, you need to think ahead, friends. God put a head on your shoulder for some reasons. We've got a mosque right down the street down here. And as I drove past there tonight, I thought to myself, what if we go to war, now a real war? A real war with Iraq. And how long are they going to keep under? We should have already been. I was already thinking way before 9/11, going with my picket signs and say, Allah is not God. And now I want to have a sign, go on home if you're not a citizen of the United States of America. Go home and terrorize the rest of the world. Get out of here. So I wouldn't do that. No, you wouldn't do that. Well, wait till they take our children and our grandchildren. They're all over the place, these terrorists at heart. Isn't Saddam calling for all of them to do that? I just heard that the other day. Didn't they have a bombing today? 20 hurt or killed? Israel, I just say Israel, just go at it! Our president ought to say, I will give you anything you need. Prime Minister of Israel, we'll give you anything you need. These terrorists. We need to get some hog's blood and hog's sweat for every one of them. Just put it all over them, then they'll know they're going to hell, and then preach Jesus to them. Amen. And see, we'll get somebody saved. Guns don't work for them. They're all deceived by their leader, Mohammed, who's in hell right now. Burning in the flames of the damned for all eternity. People are fools to follow an idiot like him. Amen. Didn't he have a bunch of wives too? Sure he did. We already heard that. We're supposed to promote some guy who's a polygamist, has a 9-year-old wife, and who tried to commit suicide a number of times? Oh, on and on and on you go. I tell you, people need to wake up I saw this little track on Quran. I read it again today, and I'm going to have to call the fellowship track lead. Brother Pennington, is that his name? Pennington. He's a dear brother. He needs to get rid of that track. I don't want to hear quotes from the Quran. I want to hear quotes from the Bible.
Amen.
I read that thing the second time. I picked it up there in our previous church, up there, Lighthouse Baptist Church, North Tonawanda, David Constantino. And every track I read was good, but I read that one. That is no good. We don't need to quote any Quran and act like we're pacifying Mohammedans and Muslims and all that. Just turn your burnt holler in heaven. I should have had in there, Mohammed's dead and our Christ is alive. Why would anybody trust a dead Savior when we have a living Savior? Bunch of fools. The grave, they came and he said, He is not here. He is risen. And that's another proof that what? The Word of God is quick. Our Savior is quick. He came out of the grave never to die again. And He lives in me and in every believer in the whole world. And the devil is no match for my Christ who lives in any one of us. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, well, one day Jesus will come back and we'll be on the victory side. I'm already on the victory side. Amen? If you're in prison, you're still on the victory side. Peter was in there. Paul was in there. Christ was in there. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but they said that Peter does say something in John. We'll try to close with this. Peter says that he would die a different death. You read it over there at the last couple chapters of John's Gospel. This spake he, signifying what death he should die. And history tells us that Peter said, don't crucify me right side up. Crucify me upside down. It kind of sounds like Peter. I didn't say that's what happened. I just said it kind of sounds like Peter. I'm so below my Lord. Just crucify me upside down instead. I didn't say it was, but it's extra biblical, I know. But I'll tell you what, Peter, he finally learned his lesson, didn't he? You can't do it on your own. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost in prayer, then God will do something. By the way, if God does a whole lot for you without prayer, why should He do it? And how can you give God the glory when it's not an answer to prayer? That's why God wants us to pray. Then when He sends His power, it's an answer to our obedience in prayer. Not to our faithfulness. And our courage. And our strength. No, that's all in Christ. He is our strength. He is our life. He is our everything. Let's bow for prayer. Father, bless, we pray, Thy Word. Thank You for the Gospel. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for the living Christ who is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Jew first and also to the Greeks. What does it say also in Acts? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Dear Lord, we need the power of the Gospel, the life of the Gospel, the excitement of the Gospel. And we need to use the sword of the Spirit. Realize the power in our Bible and in our Christ. Now with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's one here and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I need to know, I want to know, I should know, and I need to be sure I'm saved. So I'll escape the flames of hellfire. I need to be saved and know it. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and take it back down and we'll pray for you. I need to be sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Just lift it up, take it down, we'll pray for you. Teenager, young person, older person, I need to be saved and know it. Pray for me. God bless this one here. Any others? This one over here. Little ones, anyone else? Teenager, older person, I'm not sure I'm saved either. My mama thinks I'm saved. My daddy thinks I'm saved, but I don't know if I'm really saved or not. You better get to know. You better be sure, or be sure your sin will find you out. You've got to have Christ to get into heaven. Your good works, you're obeying your mom and daddy. I'm glad you do, but that won't get you to heaven. I'm glad you do, but it won't get you to heaven. Someone else, before we pray. Then is there one here, and you say, I'm saved, but I need prayer as a Christian. Pray for me, I'm truly saved, but I need prayer. That I'll be more filled with His power, and excited, and filled with life, and Use that sword. Yes, many hands were raised. May God help us. Lord, help us in these days to count the cost and pay the price. Go all the way with our Jesus, our lovely Savior. May we go all the way with our Bible, the Word of God, and realize it's a priceless possession. And it's a powerful book. And our Christ are just as powerful as each other. For it's the Word of God. Help us, Lord. Save the lost. And give us victory in Jesus as believers. In Christ's name, amen.